invite you this morning to take your Bibles out, if you have one. If not, there should be one there in front of you in the pew. To Psalm 125. And Psalm 125, as we continue our study through the Songs of Ascents, is what they're called, a section of the Psalms that are titled that way. And they would sing these as they prepared in their hearts and traveled to Jerusalem, the Israelites did. Psalm 125, but if you think about it, we all desire to be stable and secure. I mean, you just look around and there's a security cameras everywhere. Some people have home security, whole systems, security alarm systems, and there's some buildings have security fences, security guards, security dogs sometimes. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong, but I'm pointing out that it reveals that we like that feeling of security. And no one enjoys being vulnerable. No one enjoys being in a place that's insecure, because that instability, that insecurity, it sort of flusters us because it feels like you're not on stable ground. And so we become fearful. We're always looking for something to hold on to so that we will feel firm. And when I think about this, I think about the trampoline with a bunch of kids jumping on it. And what do you usually see? There's always that one kid that just keeps falling down. Every time they try to stand up, the other kids are bouncing and they just can't ever get their footing. And this poor kid just keeps toppling over. And as the trampoline is bouncing up and down, they can't get any stability. And so also instability in life is the same type of thing. There's no rest. There's no settledness. There's no durability. And sometimes in life, it feels like you're that little child on the trampoline. It's like every time you stand up, you get toppled over. And that's sometimes what it feels like in life. And this psalm is this morning that we're going to look at. It shows us that, you know, we do live in a world of instability and insecurity. But there is a way to be secure. There is a way to be stable in life. Let's find out as I read the psalm. Psalm 125, starting in verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surround His people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest in the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. As we consider the message of this psalm, we see one thing that comes out is that those who trust in the Lord are secure. Those who trust in the Lord are secure. And you see that in most of the psalm, verses 1 through 4. As you think about some of the most secure places in the world, they say that, if not the most secure, but at least up there, is, of course, Fort Knox. And on the outside of the building, they say it's surrounded by this steel fence. They say that there's helicopters and guards and alarms, and that's only a snippet of, I'm sure, of what the security on the outside. But then you have the security on the inside. Of course, there's more guards. But also they say that there's a 22-ton vault door. And they say that it's 27 inches thick, right? So you're trying to get in to the gold there, and you're met with this vault. And so you can make it in, but how are you going to open that vault? To open the vault, they say that there's different people with different unique codes who have to punch it in to even open the vault. And you think about the security of Fort Knox, and when you think about that, we'd all love that sort of security in our lives, wouldn't we? We'd all want that kind of security. Well, let me tell you, according to this psalm, we are shown that we can have that kind of sure security, stability from the Lord God. He says in verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. And so he's saying there is a way. There is a way to be stable and secure in life and to be sort of like that Mount Zion. Because you think about mountains, they're stable, they endure, they're secure. You think about trees and vegetation, they die off easily, but mountains remain. Buildings, they come and go, but mountains are still the same. Because let's just say we live near a mountain, and let's just say that someone, this is impossible, but let's just say someone time traveled here from 300 years ago, and they lived and we had this mountain, and they looked around for what's familiar. There'd be a lot of differences, wouldn't there be? I mean, there'd be new buildings that they'd never seen, and things that were there before, they're not there anymore, and all these things. But there would be one thing that they would recognize, and it would be that mountain. And it's because mountains are stable, they're secure, they're firm. A mountain doesn't just topple over, right? It's firm. It's not like that game of Jenga. You make the wrong move and it just topples all over. No, mountains don't do that. They don't waver. And so the psalmist is saying that those who trust in the Lord are like a mountain, like Mount Zion, secure like that. We don't move, totter, shake, or tumble down, but we can be unwavering in Him. And the key is, of course, what? What is the key? The trust in Him. Those who trust in Him. Big thing nowadays is for people to sort of look inward for security, for stability in life. But that is really a fool's errand. You cannot find security within yourself. Because you think about here, man, we can be like a mountain. But just because you can be like a mountain doesn't mean you make yourself a mountain. Right? We don't become secure by just trying harder. We don't become secure by grasping onto the things of the world. How do we become secure like a mountain? Trust in the Lord. It's because, think about it this way, it's because the object of our faith is immovable, so we become immovable. It's like we become a mountain because we're on the stable ground of the Lord. Right? And once again, it's that the key is trust in Him. And so to trust in Him, you must look outside of yourself. To trust in Him, you must depend on Him. To trust in Him, you must see that He is the answer to the instability that I feel. Because sometimes we partly trust in Him and then partly trust in ourselves. Sort of like a 50-50 deal, right? And that will not do. We must trust Him. We must put all of our weight upon Him to be secure. And it can be scary to trust someone outside of yourself. I mean, I think there's many of us in this room who would say, man, I've got burnt by somebody, right? People are not trustworthy. And so it's scary to look outside of ourselves, but realize that God can be trusted. He's reliable. He's faithful. He's loving, He's good, He's strong, He's secure. Now, as you think about this security, it doesn't mean that we won't face hardships. It doesn't mean that we won't face trials, because you think about mountains, they face storms still, don't they? They face winds and storms, but what happens? They're secure in the midst of the tempest. Right? And so when the winds and waves of trials, they come our way, we can be firm and we can be secure like that mountain. We become immovable like a mountain because of God. I think about Psalm 112 says this, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." And so we are secure like mountains. But the second thing that this psalm shows us is that we are secure like being surrounded by mountains. So we can be secure like a mountain, but also we're secure by being surrounded by mountains. Verse 2, "As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore." What's interesting is that Mount Zion was actually surrounded by other mountains and hills. And what's very interesting is that those other surrounding mountains were actually higher than Mount Zion itself. And that's somewhat like us and God. is that we can be secure like a mountain, but guess what? There are higher mountains still around us, and it's the mountain of God Himself. He is our high wall. He is higher still. And it isn't amazing that He graciously does this for us. Even though we have failed Him, and even though we have sinned against Him, the fact that He surrounds us in protection, surrounds us in love, when really, because we sinned against Him, He could have surrounded us to attack. But yet He surrounds us in love. Because if He surrounded us to attack, we would deserve it. I mean, we sinned against the Holy God, and yet for those who trust in Jesus, He is for us, as we found out last week in the previous psalm. And now we see once again that He surrounds us to protect and not to attack. He does so because we are His people, and what a blessing it is to be His. And so praise God, we don't have to fear, right? We don't have to fear the encircling enemies because guess what? We're already encircled by the Lord. We're encircled by the Lord. He stands in between. Because of Christ, we don't have to face the enemy of eternal death because Christ stood in between and He died for us and He rose again. Because of Christ, we don't have to face the burdening weight of guilt and shame before God because He stood in between. He satisfied and took the wrath of God for us. Because of Jesus, Satan's fiery arrows, they can be extinguished with the shield of faith in Him. And so sometimes as you think about, as you go through life, it sometimes feels like, man, darkness is surrounding me. We can't always see the light through the darkness, but I can know God is still there. God surrounds me. And so when darkness, it feels like it's closing in, it's surrounding you. Remember, it is God. He's still there. He's surrounding me. You think about the Israelites, they had this good natural defense in Mount Zion and the surrounding mountains. That's a really good natural defense. And if you think about it, they could have been tempted to trust in those physical mountains, couldn't they? Oh, look at us. We have these mountains and they're going to help protect us. And that's where our security is found. But what is the psalmist doing? He's pushing them beyond the physical. He's showing them that look at those mountains, but for the purpose of looking to the God who is better than those mountains. He is like those mountains, only better. And He's the one who truly protects you against those enemies. So it's so easy to try to find security in the things, the physical things of this world, like those Israelites could have done. It's so easy to do that because you think, man, they're going to bring me the security that I need. And yet the key is look beyond them to God. Because the things in this world, they cannot bring you true lasting security. I mean, I think a lot of us, I mean, we seek financial security, which is good in a sense. It's wise. But the truth is you can't put your hopes there. Because financial security could be gone in an instant, couldn't it? It could be gone in an instant. Physical security is good to a limit, but there's ways around it. Security in your relationships can be gone quickly. Something happens and the person walks away and you try to even reach out, but they just cut you off and the security in the relationship is gone. And so it pushes us to remind ourselves the only true lasting security I can find is in the Lord God. It's in Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so I look past those little mountains that aren't really mountains, and I look to the high and certain big surrounding mountains of the Lord Himself. Our true security, it's not found in the things around us. Our true security is not found in the things around us. It's in the Lord who surrounds us. That's where our security is found. And a big piece of comfort in this psalm is, of course, a lot of it, but it also is where it says, the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forevermore. From this time forth and forevermore. Let's say that someone said, hey, I will protect you for 1 second. Is that comforting? Okay, I mean, that 1 second's nice, but it's gone. Or even 1 minute. Okay, that minute is nice, but it's so temporary. It's short-lived. And the text doesn't say that. It says he surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. That is, his protective care lasts forever. It doesn't leave. And when I read this, I couldn't help but think Jesus saying, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. God's protective presence is with us no matter what. There are no time limitations. It's always encircling us. And so do you trust the one who surrounds you in love? He cares for you. He loves you. He know that he's there. Now, as we move on, we see some more evidence of our security in the Lord. Verse 3, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest in the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. And maybe for some of you, like, what exactly does that even mean, right? This is an interesting verse. Like, what does that mean? How does it relate to what was just said? And so let's break it down a little bit. Think about the scepter of wickedness. Points to a wicked ruler, right? The scepter points to a ruler, the wicked ruler. And so he's saying a wicked ruler, his rule will not rest on the land of the righteous. And I believe that he's saying a wicked ruler is not going to rule Israel's land forever. And so there is this allotted land for the other righteous. This points to, I believe, Israel's allotted land that God has set apart for them. It is theirs. God has given it to them. And he's saying a wicked ruler will not rule that land forever. It would not rest and stay there forever. Now, at times, even throughout the Old Testament, you saw that a wicked ruler did rule. But I believe it's this long, this forever idea. And so God has allotted things to his people. And he's showing us this truth that when God allots something to his people, it is not going to forever be in the hands of the enemy. But we can rest assured that the things allotted to us by God will be given to us someday by God. I think about Romans 8. Says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? But as I thought about this, isn't it a comfort to have the security of God's sovereignty? The security of God's providential working? The wicked, they don't just have free reign, they have restraints on them from God. He does not allow them to go beyond where he says, stop right there. The wicked will not prevail forever, but God reigns. In his providence, we can rest secure. And so, yes, there's going to be times of wickedness. There's going to be times where it seems like they're prevailing, but they will not ultimately prevail because God is in control. You see, when and where God decides to put his foot down, evil cannot coexist there. And so we can rest in the providence of God. We can rest in that security that the providence of God brings us. Just think of the rest you can feel, the peace you can have, the joy that overtakes you when you can rest in his providential hand. You can have security. But that's only the first part of the verse 3, because the ending says, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong. And so what the psalmist seems to be saying is that God does not let a wicked ruler rule in the land for so long that God's people are actually led into great, great wickedness due to temptation or despair. And that's encouraging to remember because it's showing us that God cares so much about his people that he doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond our limits. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God knows our limits. Do you realize that? And God only permits us to go through situations where He knows that we can resist it through His help. And so we have a God that is knowledgeable of our frame, Psalms talks about. He takes into account our limitations. He cares so much about us that He knows when to say, okay, it's enough. It's enough. He doesn't want our faith to falter. He actually wants our faith to strengthen through these things. And so all of these are good reminders that we can rest in the security of God's providence, that He knows our limits. He knows what's going on. And He says at times, okay, that's enough. His providence surrounds us like encircling mountains. Do we ever remember that, though? That even in hardships and even in trials and even in darkness, we can know that ultimately, as the Bible says, all things work together for good. Right? There's security in the providence of the Lord. But there's some more in the song. We see we can also be secure in His goodness. Look at verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good. And so the psalmist, he knows God is good. And he prays that God would display, show that goodness towards him all the time. And I wonder if we truly believe that God is good. That God is good. Because when in the midst of hardships, in the midst of the darkness enclosing around you that you feel sometimes, it sometimes feels like God isn't good. We sometimes have that feeling in us. But yet it's not true because God is always good. God always does good for His people. As I said earlier, as I quoted that verse, all things work together for good. Right? For those who are called according to His purpose. He is good, and He displays His goodness towards His people. And we may not always see the goodness in the moment, but it's showing us that ultimately He is working something good through it all. He is doing something good. In His goodness, He gives us blessing upon blessing. He is good, and His goodness flows down to us. Grace, mercy, salvation, life, forgiveness, help, strength, they all come from the goodness of God. We need His continual goodness to sort of flow into our lives. We need it every day because if you really think about it, where would we be without the goodness of God? Do you feel the security of knowing God is good? You can fall back on that rest inducing comfort of knowing the Lord is good. And I have security in that fact that God is good. And even though it doesn't look like it, even though in the midst of all of this chaos, I know through it all, I have the security that I can keep saying, God is good. God is good all the time. He is good. Run to the refuge of the goodness of the Lord. And so that means when you're being overcome by the situations of life, you can cry out to Him and say, do good, Lord. Do good. And resting knowing that He is good, He will do good, the ultimately good that He knows is the best for us. And so we have this security in His goodness, but also the security in the peace of God. There at the end of the psalm, He says, peace be upon Israel. He knew that there is true peace and it comes from God. And so he prays for it. He asks God to show that peace, to give peace. Thankfully, of course, we have peace with God through Christ. And we are cherished that. But we can pray for peace in our relationships. We can pray for inner peace, that we may feel that inner peace. We also look forward to the day when there will be everlasting peace, when the Prince of Peace comes back someday. God is a God of peace, and when we lean into Him, He gives us true peace. And so that's how we can be so secure in this life, because we have the security of the peace of God, so that amidst life trials, that His peace stabilizes us. So that we're not just in this constant inner turmoil, but we can have this sort of solid, stable peace, like a mountain is stable. Amidst our failings, it's peace that we have with Him through Christ that helps us not to run away in shame. And His peace surrounds us so that we can have this amazing peace that just there's something about it that even though we're going through some of the craziest things, that there's just this peace that people can even see it when we go through something crazy. Have you been feeling insecure lately? Have you been sort of feeling unstable lately? Have you felt like the darkness is surrounding you, a hardship is surrounding you, and it feels like they're closing in more and more, and you feel very vulnerable to it all? Remember, those who trust in the Lord are secure. Amidst the hardship, amidst the darkness, we do look with eyes of faith to see God is still there. God is still good. God is in control. God loves me. He protects me. He surrounds me in His love. And He can give me the peace that I need amidst all this. That's how we can be secure as a mountain. So will you trust in Him? In our chaotic, unstable world, we can be stable and secure in Him. So as we look at this psalm, we see a lot about those who trust in the Lord and they're secure. But now we see the opposite. We see what happens when someone does not trust in the Lord. Because if someone who trusts in the Lord is secure, then what happens about those who don't trust in the Lord? And we see that in verse 5. Those who turn aside to crooked ways are not secure. Look there at verse 5. But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. And so really, here is the opposite of those who trust in the Lord. And so if you remember what we just learned, you trust in the Lord, you're stable like a mountain, you're surrounded by the Lord like mountains. But here in verse 5, there's a key word. It says, but. So here's a contrast, isn't there? In contrast to those who trust in the Lord, there are those who turn aside. There are those who go to their crooked ways. It is truly their crooked ways because it doesn't come from God. It doesn't come from what is true and what is real, but it comes from their own mind and heart. You see, to turn to their crooked ways is to not trust the Lord. It's almost like the Lord is the way. Think about Jesus as the way, but the Lord is the way. And what are they doing? They're turning aside to these crooked ways, right? Instead of this one straight way and path, they turn away, and any way that's not on that path is a crooked way. Because they divert from God's path. They are self-made ways. And so when a person turns away from the Lord, what are they doing? They're actually bending away from what is true and right, the one way. And this seems to be primarily talking about people who appear to believe but have since turned away from the Lord. And sadly, we have seen, I mean, this has been throughout history, but we have seen many people who have grown up in church and they have walked away from the faith altogether. And we've seen evidence of this. We know what it looks like. And often when someone turns away from their faith, it's not based on truth, but it's often because of what they feel, because of what they have experienced. And so it's not so much because of this objective truth, but it's from because I feel it's not true anymore, because I've experienced this. But if you leave the path of faith based on feelings, it is this example of turning aside to a crooked way. You're being led away by your emotions and experiences instead of saying, no, God has said this. This is the objective truth. This is the way, and I'm going to stay on the way. Even though sometimes my feelings, my doubts come in, I'm going to rest upon the truth that God has provided the way, the one way in Jesus Christ. And so Instead of following God's truth, they turn aside from it to their own twisty paths. But what is the result? What is the consequence of turning away from the Lord? It says the Lord leads them away with the evildoers. And our world doesn't like this message. But if you read the Bible, it is ultra clear. If you turn away from the Lord, there are eternal consequences. I want you to think about it this way. God is the giver of life. I mean, you see that. I mean, He, the creator, but also, of course, through Jesus, the giver of life. God is the giver of life. That is truth. That is reality. God is the giver of life. And if you turn away from the giver of life, you can't expect life. If you turn away from the giver of all good, the giver of all blessings and joy and peace, you can't expect those things as a result. You have turned away from the place, the source. You see, if you turn away from the one way, Jesus, to the crooked path, you cannot expect life there. If you turn away from the one place of salvation, you cannot expect to be saved. You have turned away from the source, from the life, from the salvation. You have turned away from God. You have turned away from the Lord. You have turned away from the Savior. And you cannot expect to be saved. You cannot expect to have eternal life if you have turned away from life. Because Jesus is life itself. And so that's why those who do not trust in the Lord, they're led away. And it's showing that this image of God is really the ultimate judge. And He's the one that leads them away. And so it's not us as Christians leading them away to judgment. No, we simply proclaim what's going to happen. Right? I'm proclaiming what the Word of God says, that it's God who has said this. It is God who is judge, and He is the one who will lead you away. It's not me. I'm not going to lead you away. I'm simply a child of God who trusted Him. I just trust what He has said. And so we have to rely and go back to God is the one who will lead people away to their eternal destination. And so you walk the crooked path. God will lead you away with the other ones who have turned away. And so, of course, this is a warning. A warning even for us in this room, because we have to consider, am I turning away to the crooked paths? Because I think about Hebrews 3, 12 to 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And so we cannot think too arrogantly. We must be careful. We must help each other. We must exhort one another to live faith-filled lives. And so there's a warning here, but also, strangely, a comfort. Because, yes, He leads away those who do not trust in Him. He leads away those who turn to the crooked path. But the comfort is that for those who trust in Jesus, for those who do go the walk the path, it means we can be assured eternal life. We can have eternal security. We can have assurance because He has promised this. And so praise God for His grace. He doesn't have to give us life, and yet through Christ He has provided forgiveness and eternal life to all those who simply what? Trust. Who simply trust in His Son. And so it's not all these million works that save us. No, it's just simply trusting in Jesus Christ that He is the way, the truth, and the life. That I have to go to Him, and I simply trust that He died for me and then rose again. He took my sin upon Himself, and He paid the penalty so that I could go free. Simply trusting in Him. Do that today, and you can find the eternal security in the Father's hand. And so this text is really reminding us, for us who believe, to keep trusting in the Lord who brings security to His people. Keep trusting in the Lord. He brings the security we need. And so consider for your own heart and mind, what do you truly trust in? Are you starting to bend to the crooked path? Are you looking for places of security in all these other places? They will not provide you with what you need truly and ultimately in a lasting way. But instead, cling to the one who gives you true security, the Lord God. Because when we do so, we become like a mountain. We become like firm, stable, and enduring. And He surrounds us with His protective, providential, loving care. Because we were sinners and we deserved, before Christ, we deserved to be led away in judgment. And yet the Lord did good to us through Jesus Christ, who came, died for us, rose again for us, and now through simple faith in Him, we can gain eternal security and we shall never be moved. We have been surrounded by His love, and we're going to be surrounded by His love forever. And guess what? We have an inheritance allotted us in heaven. And what peace we can have in this life. And so this psalm is reminding us this truth. It is worth it to follow the Lord. It is worth it to trust Him, to follow Him. And so will you keep trusting Him, knowing that He brings the security and stability that I need for my life, no matter what life may bring? Let's pray. Dear good and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can find our true security in You. Lord, as we go through this life, we don't always feel secure. Lord, we often feel unstable and sort of like that child that keeps falling down. Lord, there's different things that we feel like darkness is surrounding me, evil surrounding me, and all this. But Lord, help us to look with eyes of faith to You, who encircles us in Your love. And help us to rest in that truth, to find our security through Christ, and to know truly You are good. And it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.